ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 11 entitled The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, text number 14. Viprasya adhyayan adini. Shad anyasya apratigraha. Ragyo vritti praja goptur avipradva karadhi bhi. Translation. For a brahmana, there are six occupational duties. A kshatriya should not accept charity, but he may perform the other five of these duties. A king or kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on the brahmanas, but he may take his livelihood by levying minimum taxes, custom duties, and penalty fines upon his subject, other subjects. Purport. Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the position of brahmanas and kshatriyas as follows. Brahmanas have six occupational duties, of which three are compulsory, namely the studying of the Vedas, worshipping the deity, and giving in charity. By teaching, by inducing others to worship the deity, and by accepting gifts, the brahmanas receive the necessities of life. This is also confirmed in the Manu Samhita. Shanam tu karmanam asya trini karmani jivika yajanadhyapane chaiva vishuddhacha pratigraha. Of the six occupational duties of the brahmanas, three are compulsory, namely the worship of the deity, the study of the Vedas, and the giving of charity. In exchange, a brahmana should receive charity, and this should be means of his livelihood. A brahmana cannot take up any occupational duty for his livelihood. The shastras especially stress that if one claims to be a brahman, he cannot engage in service of anyone else. Otherwise, he at once falls down from his position and becomes a Shudra. Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami belong to a very respectable family, but because they engaged in the service of Nawab Hussain Shah, not even as ordinary clerks but as ministers, they were ostracized from Brahminical society. Indeed, they became like Mohammedans and even changed their names. Unless a brahmana is very pure, he cannot accept charity from others. Certainly, charity should be given to those who are pure. Even if one is born in a family of brahmanas, if one acts as a shudra, one cannot accept charity, for this is strictly prohibited. Although the kshatriyas are almost as qualified as the brahmanas, even they cannot accept charity. This is strictly prohibited in this verse by the word apratigraha. What to speak of the lower social orders? Even the kshatriyas must not accept charity. The king or the government may levy taxes upon the citizens in various ways, by revenue duties, custom duties, realization of fines, and so on, provided the king is able to give full protection to his subjects to assure the security of their life and property. Unless he is able to give protection, he cannot levy taxes. However, a king must not levy any tax upon the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. So the Krishna conscious devotees are exempted from, should be exempted from the taxes. Om Krishna. So we are reading this chapter, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes. We saw in the previous chapter of the episode of Sri Narsingadev and Prahlad Maharaj, and after that, Yudhishthira Maharaj, very happy to hear about the glories of Sri Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingadev, and then asks further, of course, further glorifies Sri Narad Muni, and then asks further questions about the perfect duty of a human being, and how about the perfect religious principles to be followed in a society. So in answer to that, Sri Narad Muni in this chapter describes the perfect society, the four social classes, about the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas and the Shudras and their respective position in the society, and how the ultimate purpose of all these is to please Vishnu, Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. That is the idea of all this Varnashram system. See, Krishna is the most perfect. He is the perfect God, or His Purnam, as Sri Shampanishad mentions. So any emanation which comes from Krishna is also complete in itself and is most perfect. So therefore this Varnashram system also, which as Krishna Himself explains in the Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha tasya kartaram apimam vidhi akartaram avyayam. So Krishna explains, according to the three modes of nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. And although I am the creator of this system, you should know that yet I am the non-doer, being unchangeable. So this is Krishna's verdict in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Chaturvarna Maya Sishram, that I have created these four orders of society, four divisions of human society. So therefore, it has to be perfect. And it is a natural, in one sense, if we analyze it from an economic, social point of view also, then we see it is very, very natural that any society will have an intelligent class of men, which we call it the Brahmana class, or each society needs to have an administrative class, and there will be people who will be inclined to that, the Kshatriyas. And of course, there has to be Vaishyas to run the society, to do business, so that is the mercantile class of today. And then the laborer class, or the Kshudras, who will serve the above three and help in smooth functioning of the society. So therefore, this is a perfect arrangement or perfect gift of the Supreme Lord. Krishna has given this system for the purification of the humankind. Krishna says that fulfill your desires within the Varnashram system and get purified. So that is the whole idea of this Varnashram. Fulfill your desires within the purview of Varnashram, within the Varna and Ashram which you are there, according to the modes which you have acquired due to your past karma or this present life's karma. So act according to that and then get yourselves purified and come back to me. So that is the whole idea of this. And of course, in this particular verse, Narad Muni is describing about the qualities or the activities of a Brahmana. He describes the six principal occupations or duties as we read Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan, then Dan and Pratigrahan. That is reading scriptures, giving in charity, worshipping the deity, and then teaching the scriptures, accepting charity, and teaching the performance of yajnas. So these are the six principal services or the principal occupations of a Brahmana. And we see also here in the translation, Narada Muni is mentioning that a king or a kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes unless he is kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on brahmanas, but he may make his livelihood by levying minimal taxes. And of course, the previous line says that kshatriya should not accept charity. So that is the point which is made here, and Prabhupada elaborates on this. The whole idea is that the different modes which people have acquired gives them a different a type of a nature. And according to that, one acts according to his nature, and he fits into that varna and ashram. Like for a brahmana who has the brahmanical propensities, for him to work under someone, because brahmanas usually are independently thoughtful men, as Prabhupada mentioned, our society is to create brahmanas. So brahmanas, for them to work under someone will not be possible. Because of their psychophysical nature, they will not be able to work because of their independent, thoughtful nature. Similarly, for a kshatriya, like when it is mentioned that the kshatriya should not accept charity, for that matter, because of the modes which he has acquired, he will never do that. A bona fide kshatriya, one who is there, he will never have that inclination, or he cannot accept charity. That will be against his, even though he is poverty stricken, he doesn't have a kingdom, but for a kshatriya to go and beg for charity, that is not possible. So therefore, these modes are very strong. And therefore, Krishna advises that one should act according to one's prescribed modes, and with that determines the prescribed duty. And herein also, Srila Prabhupada, another point which makes in the purport is, unless a brahmana is very pure, he cannot accept charity from others. And of course, later in the purport, Srila Prabhupada also explains, however, a king must not levy tax upon the brahmanas and vaishnavas fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. And also, the government can levy taxes provided the king is able to give full protection. So that is a very common principle which we see is existing, of facility versus duty, or we can call it facility versus qualification. If one accepts the facility without being properly qualified, then a great sin is incurred. Like herein it is said, the brahmana who is not qualified, who is not pure enough, should not accept the charity. Nor a kshatriya who is not qualified should not levy taxes. So this is very important in the Vedic culture. Unless one is qualified, he cannot accept the facility. Like we give the example of, if for example in case of charity, if a brahmana is not properly pure or is not properly situated, and if accepts charity from a person who has earned with illegal means, he is bound to be influenced by the karmic reactions of accepting that charity from illegal means. If someone is very powerful, then he can absorb. Like we give the example, Krishna is like the sun, and when sun comes in contact with something impure, with stool, urine, the sun does not get contaminated. The sun purifies that place, as it is explained in Nectar of Instruction. Krishna's property is antiseptic and prophylactic. It purifies and protects one. Similarly, one who is in touch with the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Sun, he can purify and he can accept the charity. Of course, Bhagavatam also explains the famous verse that one should not become a father, mother, or any position of authority unless he is in full control to deliver one's dependence. So that is a very important principle, that unless one is qualified, if one accepts the facilities, then he has to bear the karmic reactions. That is what is being conveyed by Srila Prabhupada in this purport. And of course, we see many times we are given services which may feel we are not qualified. Therefore, Vaishnavism is of course beyond, and it is the principle of empowerment or mercy of a Vaishnava overrules all these principles. So if a Vaishnav or an Acharya empowers someone to do something, even though one may not be qualified, this does not work. And with the instruction, the empowerment is given. So we have this principle, but at the same time, Vaishnavism goes beyond the Varnashram and it empowers. But generally, for proper functioning of the society, we have to properly follow the Varnashram system. And also in the 18th chapter, where the 45th, 46th, where the 47th verse, where Krishna describes the qualities of a Brahmana, therein also Srila Prabhupada in the purport concludes the purport by saying that the conclusion is that everyone should be engaged according to the particular mode of nature he has acquired. It's very important. When everyone is engaged in the society properly, then there can be peace. And Prabhupada continues, and he should decide to work only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. So act according to modes, but for only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme. So that is the essence. Srila Prabhupada concludes this section of the Bhagavad Gita in the 18.47 purport, that one has to act according to the modes, but the purpose has to be kept in mind, only to serve the supreme cause of the Supreme Lord. So this is the underlying principle of Varnashram, to work for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam. That is the essence of Varnashram Dharma. Therefore, it is very essential to understand Varnashram, because that is given by Krishna, how we can practically apply in our Vaishnav's culture and society. At the same time, understanding that Vaishnavism is beyond Varnashram, but for the practical functioning of the society, the peaceful execution of the society, we need this Varnashram. Of course, if we just take to the superficialities of Varnashram, just to the rules and regulations, and miss the devotional aspect, the Samsiddhir Hari Toshanam aspect, we can miss the whole point. So therefore, that is very important. And Krishna, through his various pastimes in the Krishna book, proves this aspect, that even though one may be a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Kshudra, if he forgets this principal point, that as Srila Prabhupada explains, to working for the supreme cause of the Supreme. So if one forgets this most important aspect, working for the supreme cause of the Supreme, then this whole Varnashram collapse. We see in one of the beautiful episodes from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 23 from the Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Brahmanas' wives blessed. In this beautiful episode, Krishna shows how it is important to understand the cause, how it is important to work for the supreme cause of the Supreme. That is the essence of Varnashram. So one time when Krishna and Balaram were there tending the cows in the forest of Vrindavan with his cowherd friends, then some of the gopas, they approached Krishna and Balaram. O Ram, O mighty armed one, O Krishna, O chastiser of the demons, O wickeds, we are being harassed by hunger. So please destroy this demon of hunger in us. And that was the loving mood of the Brajabasis, the cowherd friends. They would approach Krishna for whatever thing they had. This intimacy is being proved. Their intimate loving friendship is being proved through these dialogues in Srimad Bhagavatam. They approach Krishna for their hunger. And then Shukadeva Goswami describes this beautiful episode. Shishuka uvacha iti vigyapito gopir bhagavan devaki suta bhaktya vipra bharyaya prasidam idam abravait. Shukadeva Goswami explains, bhaktya vipra bharyaya prasidan idam abravet. Krishna began to speak with what his consciousness is, Shukadeva Goswami explains, bhaktya viprabharyaya prasidan. That Krishna wanted to please and satisfy his devotees, bhaktya, which devotees, viprabharyaya, which were the wives of the brahmanas. Krishna knew, where is Krishna? We will come to know further on. Krishna is, he is the drishta of all the thoughts of all the living entities. He knows the devotion of the cowherd ladies, of the Brahman patnis. So he wanted to reciprocate. That is Krishna, Akhila Rasamrita Sindhu. He knows how to reciprocate with each and every individual soul who is trying to serve him. So Krishna, through one of his acts, satisfies different personalities and of course give very, very pertinent lessons to each one of us. So herein, Krishna, with the desire to please his devotees, the viprabharyaya, the wives of the brahmanas, begins to speak to his cowherd friends. My dear friends, please go to the sacrificial arena where the brahmanas, learned in the Vedic injunctions, are now performing the angiras, the sacrifice to gain promotion to the heaven. And then Krishna explains that, tell them that Sri Balramji and I are there along with all of you and now very hungry. So please give us, beg for some charity. And thus, instructed by the Supreme Lord, the cowherd boys went there and submitted their request. They went to the cowherd, to the brahmanas where they were performing sacrifice. The cowherd boys, they joined their palms, offered full dandavat pranams to the brahmanas and began to speak. Hey Bhumi Dev, O demigods on earth, O brahmanas, you are the demigods on the earth. We have a message from you. We are the cowherd boys and have the orders of Krishna, and we have been sent by Sri Balaramji. And then they says, please acknowledge our request. And then the Gopas explains that we are tending cows and Sri Balaram and Krishna, they are hungry and they have sent us to you. O best of the knowers of religion, O brahmanas, you are supposed to know the religion to the best. So please have faith and give some food to us. And then cowherd boys, in their simplicity, when they see that the brahmanas are not at all responding, they did not even recognize their presence. They were so absorbed in their performance of sacrifices that they did not even recognize that the cowherd boys, they were present. So the cowherd boys thought that we'll speak in their language. Then they tried to explain that this is the right time of the sacrifice. You are allowed to give charity at this particular time. And there is no... And of course, they said that annasya kshuditam patram, that anna should be given to one who is hungry. That is a bona fide injunction. Anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for food in charity. So in this way, they give different arguments. And then Shukadeva Goswami, in a beautiful verse, explains what was the response. Iti te bhagavat yachanam srinato apina shushruhu shudra asha bhuri karmano balisho vriddhmanina. Beautiful verse which describes the condition of the brahmanas who were absorbed in Vedic sacrifices. Iti te bhagavat yachana, Krishna or his representatives, the bhagavat yachana was brought to them, the mercy or the begging of the Supreme Lord, that is Lord's mercy, that he sent his cowherd friends to them. Sharanamato apina shushruhu, they did not hear. They absolutely neglected the Lord's yachana. And why did they do so? Shukadeva Goswami explains, kshudra asha bhuri karmano. That is kshudra asha. Because they were engaged in fulfilling petty desire. Kshudra means very insignificant desires. And for fulfilling those insignificant desires of achieving the heavenly planets, bhuri karmano, they were engaged in elaborate sacrifices. So that was their condition. Kshudra asha bhuri karmano. And in the purport, it is explained, the same thing is going on. We may see those Brahmanas engage in widespread ritualistic ceremonies and spending so much energy just to get some little heavenly pleasure. So similarly in this world, also now, the present condition, most of the people are engaged in so much hard work, working for 14, 15, 16 to 18 hours a day, bhuri karmano, for little pleasure of this world, very, very insignificant pleasure of this world. And there, the result of that is, sharanato api na shushru. When the representative of the Lord comes with Bhagavata Yachana, when comes representative of the Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes begging for them to please hear our plea, they cannot hear it because of Shudra Asha Bhuri Karamana, engaged so much in endeavors to get sense gratification. And the nature of sense gratification of this world is very, very meager. And you have to work extremely hard, as Gaurangpur was giving this recent example, that you, the example of Bhuri Karamana Kshudra Asha is, you want to enjoy the pleasure of eating a rasgulla, you have to give price of, say, 10 lakh rupees. So is it worth it? That is like Kshudra Asha Bhuri Karamana, doing elaborate sacrifices just to get a meager pleasure, working hard to get little sense gratification. And the result is, we neglect Bhagavati Yachana. So to a degree, we are attached to this Kshudra Asas, little pleasures of this material world. To that degree, we will not be able to hear Shrinavati Apina Shushrushava. We will not be able to hear the Bhagavati Yachana, which are brought by his representatives, Srila Prabhupada, and his followers, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we will not be able to, we will be hearing it, but still not be hearing it. That will not have effect. So that is, it is explained here that the Bhagavati Yachana, the mercy was given to them, but because of the Kshudra Asha, the insignificant desires for enjoyment in this world, one will not be able to hear. One may be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but will not be able to hear. That is the height. And then what is the condition? Shukadeva Goswami explained, Balishah Vriddhamanina. Actually, they are like childish fools. Balisha, they are childish fools, but they consider themselves vriddhamanina, consider themselves big scientists, big philosophers, big software professionals, but actually Bhagavatam explains they are balisha, childish fools, not understanding what they are missing, what they are neglecting to hear the Bhagavat Yachana. That is balisha vriddhamanina, consider themselves very, very intelligent. So in this way, they try to explain in different ways. They speak in their language, just like a preacher. When he goes, he speaks in the language of the devotees. When he go to the engineering college, they speak in their language, describe technically the science of Bhagavad Gita. They go to medical college, they describe medical analogies. Similarly, the cowherd friends also, they also were speaking like Deshakala Prathagdravyam Mantra Tantra Vigya Agneya Devata Yajmanascha. So different, like they were explaining in their language that this is all this you see are coming from the Supreme Lord. So please, and this is the right time to give charity, speaking their language. But unfortunately, Kshudra Asha, they were unable to hear. So in this way, dissatisfied, they go back to Krishna and then explains the whole thing that what has happened. And then Krishna, who is Jagad Ishwar, smiles about them. And then Krishna explains that it is natural, one who goes for begging, Srila Prabhupada explained in the Krishna book, that one who goes for begging has to be ready. You might get the charity, you might not get charity. So by laughing, Lord Krishna indicated to the cowherd boys that they not be angry at the ritualistic brahmanas, but understand that one who begs will often be refused. So Krishna is smiling whenever sometimes we fail in our preaching endeavors. Krishna is explaining very smilingly. So do not be angry or do not be disturbed by that. When one goes to beg for charity of the holy name, charity of the message of the Supreme Lord, there might be oppositions, there might be no acceptance at all. So one should be ready for that. That is Krishna's smile. He is smiling upon us. He is happy that the devotees pride. That is Krishna's recognition. So that is what we want. And then Krishna explains that you have come back, but now you go to the Brahman Patnis, the wives of those Brahmanas who are there, and tell them that Krishna and Balaram, myself and Sri Balaramji are here, and I'm sure they will give you the charity. And then the cowherd boys, they go and explain, and they offer their obeisances, Namo Vipra Patnibhyo, and then they tell that we are come here on the orders of Krishna and Balaram, who are hungry, and please give us some food. So now, in contrast to the response of the Brahmanas, we see the response of the Brahman Patnis. Shrutva achyutam upayatam nityam tad darshana utsuka tad kathakshipta manaso babhuvir jata sambrama. The wives of the Brahmanas were very eager to see Krishna, for their minds had been enchanted by the descriptions of him. Thus, as soon as they heard he had come, they became very excited. That was their response in contrast to the Brahmanas, who didn't pay any attention to them. So like Shukadeva Goswami explains, they took all the prasadam or the bhoga which was prepared for the sacrifice, all different kinds of preparations full of fine tastes and aromas, and they immediately went forth to meet their beloved, just as a river flows towards the sea, overcoming all the obstructions. So they were also stopped by their relatives, by the friends, by the husbands. So all of them gave them opposition. Shukadeva Goswami explained, Nishidyamana Patibir, that they were stopped by their husbands, by Bhratribir, Bandhubi, Sute, by their sons. So all of them came. But then, Bhagavati Yuttama Shloke Dhirga Shruta Dhrita Ashaya. So that was their position. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Dhirga Shruta. Because they had heard about Krishna and Balaram from those who would come to the Vrindavan forest to take some wood, or the fruit sellers. They would come to the forest of Vrindavan and they would describe about Krishna's beauty. Because of them hearing Dhirga Shruta, they were able to overcome all obstacles. Nishidyamana, all those obstacles which were offered by their families, members, they were able to do that. So that is the, that was their qualification. Dhirga Shruta Dhrita Ashaya. They had heard about the Supreme Lord and they were very eager. So that eagerness overcome all the obstacles. So this is the price we have to pay if we have to see Krishna and overcome all the obstacles. Hearing about Krishna and developing the eagerness to see Krishna. This eagerness, by this eagerness, we can cross over the obstacles which come in our path, which are bound to come on our path of practice of devotional service. And Shukadeva Goswami, in a beautiful verse, then describes what did they achieve when they overcome all these obstacles, difficulties on the path of devotional service. In a beautiful verse, Shukadeva Goswami describes that Krishna and Balaram, Yamuna Upavane Shoka Navapallava Mandite Vicharantam Vritam Gope Sa Agarajam Dadrishu Shriya, that on the bank of Yamuna, with a garden decorated with buds of Ashoka trees, they caught the sight of him strolling along in the company of cowherd boys and his elder brother Sri Balaram. And then Shukadeva Goswami beautifully describes the form of the Supreme Lord. The eagerness of the Brahman Patnis, the result Shukadeva Goswami describes. And this is what awaits each one of us. If by constantly dhirga shruta, by constantly hearing, long hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, speaking about Krishna, when we develop that eagerness to actually achieve Krishna, this is what is awaits us. Shamam hiranya paridhimvan malya barha dhatu pravala natavesham anvartam se krishnot palak kapol mukhabjahasam karnot palak kapol mukhabjahasam. Shukadeva Goswami beautifully describes that Krishna was on the bank of river Jamuna, strolling, decorated with the buds of Ashoka trees, and there his complexion was dark blue, his garment golden, wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves. He was just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one hand upon the shoulder of a friend, and with the other he twirled a lotus. Lilies graced his ears, like we have so many lilies, flowers today, gracing Gopinath's turban. So lilies graced over his ears. His hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. So this was what they achieved. Of course, we have to see the struggle which they went through in the Vedic society to oppose their family members, their husbands, their brothers, their sons, their father-in-laws, the mother-in-laws. They were confident that if they come back, nobody will accept them. Rejection from the society. So that intense obstacle they had to overcome. And the result is they see this beautiful Krishna smile in the forest of Vrindavan with a beautiful dark hue, wearing a peacock feather with colored minerals and lilies, decorated with a beautiful form, twirling a lotus flower. That is Krishna's smile. Of course, Kapil Dev explains in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the beautiful description of the smile of Krishna. Haser hasam harer avant akhil. What is that? Next. Shokashru sagaram vishoshanam. Yeah, this beautiful Kapil Dev describes the smile of the Supreme Lord is ati udaram, is most magnanimous, the smile of the Supreme Lord. And when one sees what is the nature of that smile, it is shok ashru sagaram vishveshanam. That the smile of the Supreme Lord dries the ocean of tears which are caused because of the suffering of material existence. Shok ashru sagara vishoshanam. In this material world, people are suffering because of the material pangs, and there are oceans of tears. But Krishna's smile can dry that ocean of tears. Shok ashru vishoshanam. And one just has to, and then that verse explained that one has to bow down to Krishna. And then that Krishna bestows that smiling face upon that. So all that we have to do is to bow down to Krishna. Agree to Krishna's will, his devotee's will. And then shok ashru vishoshanam. All the tears, all the pangs of material existence which we are experiencing because of being in this material world will be completely dried. And we'll see the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord. That is what awaits each one of us. Also, as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was explaining in the beautiful class, the last class, that how Hanumanji went through so many obstacles, and at the end, Lord Ram embraced him. And Lord Ram said, "This is what I have to give you." So that is the perfection which one achieves after experiencing so many tribulations and trials which comes in fourth of a sadhaka's life. But what awaits is the smile of Krishna, the embrace of Krishna, like Krishna embraced Gop Kumar. Also Maharaj is explaining this. So similarly, Shukadev Goswami explains, Tastata tyakta sarvasha prapta atma drikshaya vigya akhila drigdrishta praha prasinatmana tyastatha tyakta sarvasha. Lord Krishna, who witnessed, Shukadeva Goswami explains, vigya akhil drig drishta, that Krishna is akhil drig drishta. He knows what sufferings that my dear Brahman Patanis had to go through. Tatha tyakta sarvasha, that they had given up all worldly hopes. Tyakta sarvasha, tyakta sarvasha, that my dear Brahman Patanis have given all hopes. Prapta atma drikshaya. That is Krishna, vigya akhila driga drishta. He knows what is going in each and every one of our hearts. He knows the sufferings, the material pangs which each one of us is experiencing because of being in this material world. Therefore, many times, sometimes we get this doubt, I am going through so many suffering, I am practicing devotional service sometimes. Is Krishna aware of all these? Or is he just playing on his flute in Gorakh Vrindavan, happily enjoying? What is happening? Shukadeva Goswami explains, Vigya Arbhak Drigdrishta. He knows what is going on each and everyone's hearts. And then what he does? Praha. He spoke. How he spoke? Prahasit Anana. With a smile upon his face. Krishna's smile. And evaporating all the tears of distress. And then Krishna speaks very beautifully. Swagatam vo Mahabhaga. He's welcoming them. Swagatam. Asayam karavamukim yenno didrikshaya prapta upupannam idam kiva. It's a beautiful verse where Krishna is welcoming his devotees, his sadhakas. Of course, they were the pure devotees. This is how Krishna welcomes his devotees. Welcome, O most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourself comfortable. What can I do for you? That is Krishna. He is waiting for us. He is ready and waiting, smiling. That you have come here to me is most appropriate. Upapannam. And it is purport is explained. Upapannam means very appropriate. Shukadeva Goswami is saying, Krishna is saying, it is very appropriate that you have done. Of course, if we look just from a varnashram point of view or a material point of view, they have rejected their parents. For a wife to reject her husband's, her father-in-law, mother-in-law's order is absolutely against the rules of varnashram. But here Krishna is saying, Upapannam, it is most appropriate that you have done it. That is what we are looking for, Krishna's recognition. We want Krishna to recognize our efforts, or not our begging of our mercy. And then he bestows his mercy. That is what we are looking for. People of this world may think we are running away from duty. We are not acting accordingly, according to the normal moral modes, moral codes. But upapannam idam, that is Krishna's verdict, that what you have done is most appropriate. So that is hope for us. That if Krishna is satisfied, he is saying it is most appropriate, it does not matter to us what the people of this world will say. That is Krishna's. And then Krishna says, and he begins to glorify them. And then Krishna explains that it is very wonderful that you have come here. It is only by contact with the self. Yeah. That you have come here and because of your great eagerness. And then he accepts. And then Krishna says, okay, thus now return to the sacrificial arena. Because your husbands, the learned brahmanas, are householders and need your assistance to finish their respective sacrifices. So they had come, surrendered everything, given up all relationships with all the bhoga offerings for Krishna. Krishna, after greeting them, accepts the offering and says, now you can go back. So then the wives of the brahmanas, they says, O Almighty One, please do not speak such cruel words. You should fulfill our promise. You should fulfill your promise that you reciprocate with your devotees in kind. Now we have attained your lotus feet. We simply wish to remain here in the forest so we may carry upon your heads the garlands of tulsi leaf. You may neglectfully kick away with your lotus feet. We are ready to give up all material relationships. So in this way, they are expressing their humility. Of course, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the purport, it is quoted, the acharyas have quoted Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad's purport and explaining how the dialogue between the cowherd, these Brahman Patnis and Krishna, that the Brahman Patnis were saying that you may think that we are from an aristocratic Brahman family, but we have now given up that and come here. And Krishna might say that my proper maidservants and girlfriends are the cowherd ladies, the Braj Gopis. You are very aristocratic. But then herein, quoting this verse, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, he's giving the insight that the Brahman Patni's wives offered to remain at a distance and simply take the tulasi leaves that would fall from the lotus feet of Krishna or crushed by the feet of his girlfriends when he would embrace them. So they were ready to stay outside of Vrindavan, humbly accepting the tulasi remnants of Krishna. That was their humility of the ladies. And then they explain that we have given up everyone. Since we have thrown ourselves at your lotus feet, we have no other destination. Please grant our desire. And then Krishna, hearing their prayers, understanding their prayers, again glorifies them. And then he says that, rest assured, your husbands will not be inimical towards you, nor your fathers, brothers, or general populace. I will personally advise them of the situation. Indeed, even the demigods will express their approval. That is Krishna's word. Just worship Krishna. And even gradually the whole society and the demigods will approve of our acts. And then, just to conclude, of course, Krishna very beautifully glorifies and them, and then further on says that it is not just my personal association that you can get purified or you can develop more attachment for me. Krishna knows what it takes for a devotee to become purified. So he tells them that Shrinvad darshanat dhyanam mai bhavo anukirtanat natatha sang sanikarshena pratiyato tatagrahan. It is by hearing about me, seeing my deity form, meditating upon me and chanting my names and glories that love for me develops, not by physical proximity. Therefore, please go back to your homes. And then the wives of the Brahmanas, they accepted the order and then they went back home. Of course, Shukadeva Goswami described that one of the ladies which was stopped, which had strong attraction for Krishna, but somehow she was stopped from going there. And when all these ladies, they described about Krishna's beautiful form, she meditated upon it and left her body to join Krishna in the eternal realm. And when they come back, by Krishna's grace, the Brahmanas, the Vedic ritualistic scholars, they understood their mistake. And then they condemn themselves and glorifies the Brahman Patanis and offer beautiful prayers to the Supreme Lord. So in this way, this episode ends wherein Krishna is teaching us a very pertinent lesson that it is the simple devotion and sincere eagerness to hear and glorify Him that develops attraction and ultimately achieves His mercy, the beautiful embrace, the beautiful smile of Krishna, which can absorb or evaporate all the tears of suffering of this material existence. Jai Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.